Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Well, all right, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for the baptisms, Lord. Dear, sweet Jesus, you're never not doing things. If we just get in touch, it's going to shape our life. It's going to impact us, God. And Lord, that's what we want this word to come out today to do to us today. We want it to shake us. We want it to mold us, God, and to fit into what your word says and not what a world that wants to devour us and leave us for dead in hell. But you want to shape us and mold us into the image of heaven when you take us home, God. But Lord, while we're here on earth, we have an assignment, we have a purpose, God, and we have your work to be done. So Lord, let us grow in that in all things in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're in part two of a three-part series called The Three Growth Factors. How many of you want to grow in Christ? Anybody not want to grow in the knowledge of Christ? You've got enough, you're filled up, no more knowledge of Christ. Now, I know people who are like that. They don't want to be stretched. They don't want to get outside their comfort zone. And so they don't seek to understand anything else. They don't seek to get more knowledge. And God forbid they get a little more wisdom on them. They're happy just with the basics of Christianity of Jesus is Lord. I'm pretty sure I've accepted him, and I think I'm going to go to heaven. Do you know that's where many Christians live at? Is not in the full reality, because let me tell you something. The Bible says he is new every day, great is his faithfulness. So when I got up this morning, there's a brand new measure of Christ I can have, because today is a brand new day. And I get to choose whether I walk in more understanding and more knowledge and wisdom of God, or if I just try to bounce off yesterday's anointing. Now the thing about yesterday's anointing, as good as it was, it's not today. It can carry you into your day, and it should carry you into your days and tomorrows. But let me tell you something. The anointing of God is not going to try to carry you into your today and tomorrow with that same anointing. It wants to add to it. Everybody say, add to your anointing. Now, I want you to think about that in a reality. When's the last time something's added to your anointing? And if you can't think of that time in that scripture or that new nugget you've gotten from God in prayer or during worship or whatever, then that means you're trying to live on yesterday's or 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago, or you may even be trying to live off mom and dad's anointing. But you need your own anointing. You need your own understanding. You need your knowledge to come to you, and you need wisdom to come to you. Can I have a better amen there? Now, last week we talked about understanding, knowledge, and wisdom all are tied together. You need all three, but you need to understand all three are separate, but they come together almost like the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We need understanding. We talked about that last week. If you wasn't here last week, you can go back and get it at the different outlets through the website, through podcasts, and things like that. But today we're going to talk about knowledge. Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to get some of that. Now, I'm going to be heavy noted up front, so if you want to take your cameras out and take a picture of the screens, that'd be great. Or it'll be on the listings on YouTube and Facebook pages. The notes are always there. But I want to give you the Hebrew definition of the word knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. All right, put it up. It's the word da'at. 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 Okay? Everybody say dat. Everybody say that's what you need. That's what you need to get a hold of, okay? It's actually two syllables, but I'm redneck, so I can put it in one. Da'at, it means knowing, it means learning, it means discernment, it means to have insight or notions. I love this part, though. It says, also used in the sense of knowing by experience, relationship, or encounter. That's what I like with my Jesus. I don't want book knowledge of Jesus. I do want some book knowledge of Jesus, don't get me wrong. But I want an encounter. I want an encounter with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. I just don't want to know it's real from somebody else's opinion. I don't want it to know it's real just because the Bible says it's real. And it's real. It's real because the Bible says so. And I can have a knowledge or I can have a knowledge. It's kind of like I can know someone and then I can know someone. Amen? I want experience. I want to have a relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't want to have iconic figures that I know about, but I don't know them personally. Okay? I want to have that experience with them in their word, in their, man, it's just dynamic when you have that personal relationship. And that's what knowledge does. The knowledge of God brings you into the personal side of God. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Now, just like last week, I want to give you a worldly definition of knowledge. Go ahead and put that up. The worldly definition of knowledge is this right here. It's to accumulate facts. Now, watch this. Everybody say facts. It's to accumulate some facts that suit what the person thinks. Now, again, I'm talking about worldly knowledge. And if you don't believe that's happening, just watch different news outlets. They'll give you a set of facts that line up with the way they believe, and this other one will give you a set of facts that lines up with the way they believe. And somewhere in those facts is the truth, but nobody wants to talk about absolute truth because if it doesn't go with this narrative, we're just going to make something up. If it doesn't fit us over here, we'll just make up what our facts want to be and call them facts. Come on now. And I know I've preached on this before, but I want to make sure for new people here, there is facts and there is truth. Everybody say facts and truth. Truth will always overcome facts. Okay? Now let me preface that for you. And I'm not going to preach that sermon over again, but I think it's 2 or 3, 4, 5 years ago even that I preached on facts versus truth. The fact was Lazarus was dead in the grave. Amen. Y'all know the story of Lazarus. He was dead. He was in the grave 3 days. Surely he stinketh. King James. Amen. Stinketh. But truth walked up. Amen. Truth said, Lazarus, come forth. So it didn't matter what the facts was when truth walks up. Right. Truth always will overcome facts. Yeah. And the true facts will always line up with the word of God anyway. Yeah. Amen. So I ain't got time to go into that, all right? But let's move on to that. But it's accumulating facts that suits what the person thinks, and their main goal is to gain power over you and status over you. Right. That's the only reason they want it. And they think they're so knowledgeable, and we're living in a dispensation of time right now where people think they're too smart for God. I have this knowledge. How could I believe that a God is superior than my own knowledge? I would have to lower my standard of thinking to it. That, you know, that's the epitome of stupidity. The epitome of stupidity. To know that there's a creation, but to say there's no creator. To know that God made you a male or a female, but to say, no, I'm something different. Right. Amen. Based on the feelings and facts that I want to line up with me. Right. Not the truth of the word and the knowledge of God. Right. Do you see there's a war going on for your mind right now? Amen. The battlefield is right between your ears. But it leads to your heart, it leads to your soulish realm, which leads into your spirit realm, and you will either die with the knowledge of the world and go to hell, or you can come to the knowledge and the light of the truth of God's word, accept him, get born again in your spirit, and go to heaven. But you can live on the earth with the knowledge of the word of God, and you can even live a great life while you're here on earth. Everybody wants to have, well, when I die, I'll have pie in the sky. Well, let's put some steak on the plate while we wait. Amen. Let's enjoy ourselves while we're down here. Yeah. We've got authority in Jesus' name. Can I have a better amen? Amen. So that's worldly knowledge. Again, all revolved around us. Go ahead and put up for godly knowledge. Godly knowledge is rooted. Everybody say rooted. Godly knowledge is rooted in the relationship with God, and it leads us to this. This is where most people don't want godly knowledge. Because godly knowledge is put into you and I in the earthly realm to bring us true humility, to bring us into submission and obedience. Man, you're not excited about that. Amen? Godly knowledge, when you begin to get godly knowledge, you will walk in more humility, you will walk in glad submission and absolute awesome obedience to God and the authority structure in the earth. And this is where the rebellion of the church even stands out, that we want to walk in our worldly wisdom. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what God says. I think I need to do this. And with a plethora of churches today, if you don't like something your pastor says or you don't like something the church does, you just go find you one that'll preach like you want. They're out there. You want to be a homosexual in church? There's homosexual churches. You want to be a murderer and a liar in church? There's those who will just like that. You want perversion preaching? They'll preach you perversion. They're out there. Don't mean they're going to heaven, but they're out there. So, let's move right along. Go ahead and put up one more note. Knowledge affects your behavior. Now, I want to stop there. The rest of that note's up there, and we'll get to it in a minute. The way you think is going to affect the way you do things. The way you approach things, the way you handle things, the way you respond to things. And who thinks you're better off on your own in that area of your life, or who thinks you're better off with the Word of God? Word of God, people, raise your hand. Now, let me tell you something before you raise your hand. If you think that you're better off with the knowledge, wisdom, and God, that's going to lead you to humility, submission, and obedience. So I would dare say that some people in here need to put your hand down. Some people watching online need to turn us off right now, because they don't want to walk in humility, submission, and obedience. Because we've been taught we're our own person. We get to decide what we want to do based on what we think. And that's why the rest of this definition or this statement here is so important. Knowledge absolutely affects your behavior, and you do it based on what you know or what you think you know. Anybody in here ever thought you knew something and find out you didn't know that much after all? Come on, wave at me. That way I know I'm not alone. Man, I know how to do this. I know what will make this work. And you jump in there with your knowledge and it just falls all apart. Now, sometimes we do have knowledge through experience and we make it okay. But there's things in life that you ain't going to have experience in. And just like last week, you got to come to the knowledge of you don't know everything. You don't understand everything. I don't either. Now, again, that does not make me stupid. It just makes me in a category of ignorance. And I haven't explained this to you in a while, so I'll take a little bit of time here. Ignorance is not bad. Ignorance, the definition, true definition of ignorance means I've just not been exposed or had experience in something. Doesn't mean I'm stupid. Doesn't mean I can't learn. If I can learn it, then I'm not ignorant of it. Now I can begin to produce it. That's why we go to school. That's why we go to college, or that's why you go to trade school. That's why sometimes you go into a plant and you're called an apprentice because you don't know everything. You're going to work under a master craft. Amen? Because you're going to learn because you don't have the knowledge yet. That's what ignorance is. Now, stupid is when you think you know, but you don't know. And you prove you're stupid by trying to do something you don't know nothing about. Come on. I've had plenty of stupid moments in my life. I was trying to save face like I knew what I was going to do. I know. Bam, I didn't. Been there, done that, amen? But again, it's based on what you know and what you think you know sometimes. And let me tell you something. I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I know a decent amount, but I don't still know all of this. I can't believe you said that. Well, I can't believe you think that I would stand up here and lie and tell you I know everything. That would be stupid on your behalf, because you know I don't know everything. And I don't, but I'm not ignorant to it, because I'm still looking, I'm still learning, I'm still pressing in, and God's still revealing himself to me after I got saved when I was 16. I'm 57 now, and that's a long time. But I'm learning every day that I open this word up and I get with him that I can know something fresh and new. And that's the goal of knowledge. Amen? So let's take some verses real quickly out of the Bible, since we're going to preach the Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I love this. It says, the fear of the Lord is it's just the beginning of knowledge. And I believe that's why we're staying with more of a worldly knowledge than a biblical knowledge, and even inside the church today, is because we're in a generation, they don't fear the Lord anymore. Now, the word fear there also means to give reverence to the Lord. It's not to be afraid of him. It's to honor him. And I'll get to that in just a moment. Let me just go ahead. So it's the beginning of knowledge. But watch this. But fools, everybody say fools. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Man, ain't nothing more stupid than somebody that's got experience willing to take the time to show you, and you're like, nah, man, I don't need to know that. I know it all. Man, that's dumb. But so many of us get in there because of the spirit of pride. Come on. Again, I believe in Jesus. I think I'm saved, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven. That's where probably, I don't know if I can throw out statistics here or not because I don't know them, but I would rather say there's probably between 80 and 85% of the church that has that faith. They know Jesus. They know about him. They've heard a few things. They're pretty sure they say the prayer, but they're not sure it really took sometimes, and they think, hopefully, they'll do enough good stuff, they go to heaven. Man, that's a sorry way to live. That's a fearful way to live. I can tell you, when I was 16 years old, I walked the aisle, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I punched my ticket to heaven right there. I didn't live it real good for a few years, I did some backsliding, but I never left God. I know I'm saved, I know I'm sanctified, I know I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I know I've been given spiritual gifts and anointings and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'm flowing in God. I'm not doing it perfectly, I may not do it exactly like you do it, but I've got it the way the Bible says to. Amen? So there's no doubt in my mind now. Does doubt want to come at me sometimes? Oh, heck yeah. You're not saved. You're not a man of God. This person just cut you off and you just had the thought of killing them. How could you be a man of God? I'm a man of God, still trapped in a human body with things happening all around me. Just like you are. I face the same temptations everybody else faces. But the only way I overcome temptations is I know who I am by the knowledge of the power of God's word through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If I didn't have that knowledge, I would follow every little thing that draw me away from God. Absolutely, I would do that too. But when you come to the knowledge, it's not just about sitting down with a book, you're sitting down with the word of God and what he says he means. And that this is for me, this is not against me. This is my most blessed thing I can have in the earth and live my life by. So why as a Christian wouldn't I want to do that? Now you want to talk about stupid. Try to be a Christian without knowing the word of God. Try to be a Christian without having the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Try being a Christian without having the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, no wonder the church struggles. It's a knowledge problem. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise the wisdom of instruction. Go ahead and put it up in the NLT now. The NLT says it like this: fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. So my question to you is, what are you building your foundation on? Is your foundation just on a book, or is it an alive book to you? A rhema word, amen? And it says, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, everybody says the fear of the Lord. When we hear that, we're thinking about, oh, please don't kill me for that, Lord. He don't want to kill you. He brought you everlasting life. He don't want to kill you. He wants you to live for him. It's not about being scared of God. It's about having a reverence for God. Everybody say reverence. Now go ahead and put this definition up. I think this may be in your notes. Maybe not. I don't know if it. Yeah, there it is. The fear of the Lord is to give him reverence. It means to stand in awe, to respect, and surrender in, again, watch this, submission and obedience. I can't say I'm in awe of God and how great God is if I'm not submitted and walking in obedience. And I know we all like to think, well, if God tells me to do something, I'll do something. Well, what if your spiritual authority tells you to do something? What if your mom and dad tell you to do something if you're in their house? What if your boss tells you to do something? Come on. Oh, I want the, now I want to go back to worldly knowledge. Let me just say this right here. You will reap what you sow there. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, this is the Lord talking about the people, his people, not lost people. Everybody say saved folks here. Saved folks, my people, they're destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Now, watch this. They are destroyed for the lack of a relationship with God that leads them to humility, submission, and obedience. That's why we're destroyed. Because you've rejected the knowledge I also reject you from being priests for me because you've forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget. Now watch this, your children. There's only one reason the church has been in decline in America, and that's because of parenting. It's because of parenting. It's because when you start doing your own thing in the church, your kids are going to learn they can do their own thing. When you rebel against authority, civil authority, governmental authority, spiritual authority, marital authority, and you start rebelling against that and your kids see that, why do you think they're rebelling against it? When you go home talking about the church and gossiping, what do you think your children are going to want to do? I don't want to be a part of that. As soon as I can get out of church and mom and dad, I get on my own, I'm gone. And the statistics prove that. And then mom and dad want to come into the office, oh, my baby, my baby. Well, yeah, all they do is follow your example most of the time. Now, some of them just rebel on their own. We know the Bible says they'll do that. Even godly kids rebel. Come on. But a lot of them don't have to rebel from godliness. All they're doing is following suit. Good preaching, amen. That's why he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not the world. Come on, he's talking to the church here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And I don't know anybody that don't want these first four or five letters here, our first four or five words. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Touch your neighbor and say, I'll take some of that. Man, I want me some of that. Grace and peace be not just added, multiplied to me. Somebody say, give me some of that, Lord. I need some of that after this week. I need some of that after this past year. I need some of that with what I'm facing, God. And we do need that. Amen? Touch your neighbor and say, you need some of that. But watch this right here. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Watch this. In the knowledge of God. What? Every Christian I know wants grace and peace. But the Bible is telling us it comes through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So if you need more grace and peace, get closer to God. Get closer to Jesus. Get closer to His Word. And then it doesn't matter what you face in life, you will have a grace and a peace to go through it. That's why Christians fall apart like a cheap $2 suit. Come on. Man, it's easy to be faithful when God is blessing and pouring out finances and blessings and friendships and promotions and just, you know, favor and finances, favor in the world, favor with everything. And, woo, I'll praise God. But let some of the favor seems like it ain't happening and somebody else get it. Let the promotion pass you by. Let you get the call that you've got something wrong with you. And all of a sudden, you turn your back on God. Happens all the time. It's an attack of the enemy. He's after your knowledge. Because if he knows you know who God is, you'll have the faith and the grace and the peace to walk through anything. But if you're just one of those flip-flop in and out of church when it's convenient and just happy when Jesus is good, he knows he can get to you. Because you don't have knowledge that will sustain your faith. And man, we need to become, listen, we need to become a smart church. A smart church walks through everything with peace and grace and power and anointing to go through it and to come out of it. Everybody say, come out of it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. As His divine power has given to us, everybody say, all things. All things that pertain to life, marriage, finances, jobs, friendships, church, you name it. Organizations, anything you can be involved in, sports, entertainment. He's given you knowledge to pertain to everything in life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Guys, we ought to be the smartest people on planet Earth. We have access to the architect who created all of this. His name is God the Father. Years ago, sometimes I would like when telemarketers would call. You're calling me to mess with you, I'm going to mess with you in return. So sometimes I take their calls on purpose just to have a good time with them. And they're usually trying to sell you something, you know. And this is back before about your car insurance. Okay, this is pre-car insurance and about your warranty and stuff. And what I done is a guy called me, and it was at home like 6, 7 o'clock at night. And I answered the phone, hey, this is so-and-so, and I think it was for some kind of, you remember when we were swapping out from the good light bulbs to you know, all these different halogens, and now we got great LEDs, thank you, Jesus, for that. But it was in that time, and they were real expensive, and he said, sir, we got this great deal on a, you know, one box gives you like, I think, 12 light bulbs, and these things will last up 1,800 hours, and it'll cost savings on efficiency, and cost savings because you're not having to buy them every 3 or 4 months, and oh, the wonderful thing, and there we got them on sale, and I let him do his whole spiel. He said, sir, would you be interested in saving some money like that today? I said, not interested at all. And you know, they got a screen to answer every question you can throw at them. And so he hit his little screen, I could hear him, sir, you mean a savings of this month, a month, and then it'll add up this month for a year, and in 5 years you'll be saving this much money? You, sir, everybody wants to save money. Does that not interest you? Not at all. I'm not interested in saving a single dime I have. He said, well, and you can tell he's it ain't nothing on the screen. He's searching. And while he's searching, he's, well, sir, everybody likes to save money. I said, do you even understand what number you just dialed and who you're talking to? And then you could feel the tension on the phone. And then he started, you know, he was doing the sir thing, but it was very profound. And, no, sir, I do not. I said, well, I'm not going to give you the number because I want to keep my number private. I said, it's not even about me. I said, but if you understood who my daddy is and how much my daddy owns and how much money my daddy has, you wouldn't even pick up the phone to call me about saving a dime. I said, as a matter of fact, I don't even know the name of your company, but I can pretty much guarantee you my father probably owns more stocks in your company than anybody else does. Sir, I am so sorry to bother you at your time. I'll be going home now, and thank you for taking the call. You have a nice night. That's who my daddy is, though, and I wasn't lying. My daddy owns everything. He created it all. And I've got access to be able to think like he thinks. Amen. But I've got to get with him. I got to get out of my understanding and my knowledge and my wisdom, and I got to tap into the knowledge of the Word of God by and through being taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, real quickly, God is in heaven on the throne. Jesus is declared seated at the Father's right hand. The active ingredient in planet Earth right now is the third part of the Godhead called the Holy Ghost. And he is your comforter, he's your advocate, and he's known as the teacher. How are you going to learn the scriptures of God without the Holy Spirit? And do you know that a lot of the church doesn't even believe in the Holy Spirit? That's why they're so dumb. I got to move. Where did we get to? Okay. As divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, talking about Christ, who called us into the glory and virtue. Now, how many would say you've got some knowledge of Jesus Christ? Oh, man, I'm preaching to the right crowd because very few of you are just, I don't know if you just don't want to participate or what. But if I say I'm a Christian, there ought to be some evidence or some fruit that it's there. And you ain't going to have that produced unless you got the knowledge to produce it. And you ain't going to get the knowledge except through the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen? It doesn't matter what song. You can learn through song. You can learn through preaching. But it's the Holy Spirit that quickens things to us and makes it alive. Okay? So look at 1 Corinthians. In chapter 8, Paul's writing them, addressing to them about eating a sacrificial food and some of that. And some are saying you can, some are saying you can't. All this stuff right here. But I love the way it's, and I want to read this to you out of the Passion Translation this morning. You can go back and study it out in different translations. But I love the way the Passion puts it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 3 says this. Paul's addressing them. He says, now let me address the issue of food offered in the sacrifice to idols. It seems that everyone believes his own opinion is right. Somebody say, imagine that. Everybody believes their opinion's right on this matter. And it goes on, it says, how easily we get puffed up over our opinions. Watch this. But love builds up the structure of our new life. What builds our new life?
Love.
Love wants to know more love. It wants to get knowledge. Now watch this. Next verse says, if anyone thinks of himself as a know-it-all, You may want to punch your neighbor. Not punch him, but, you know, give him that elbow. If anyone thinks he's a know-it-all or sitting by him, that person, he or she, still has a lot to learn. And then the last verse. But if a person passionately, everybody say passionately. That's where it's at. If you passionately love God, that person, he or she, they will possess the knowledge of God. My wife knows me better than any other person on planet Earth. Better than all four of my kids. Better than any of my friends I've grew up with. Better than anybody at this church. Why? Because we have a passionate love for one another to spend the rest of our lives together. Amen? She knows what I'm thinking sometimes, which really scares me. And I know her more than anybody else on planet Earth knows her. Come on. Why? Because we passionately love each other. And that's the same passion we've got to go after God with. Now, if we got married and we never saw each other, we never talked to each other, we never spent time together, I wouldn't even know who this woman is. Come on. But because we spend time and we do things together, we enjoy each other's company, we argue together over some things, and we come together on things, amen? We've learned together. That's why we've grown even more in love as we get older. Come on. If that's the key to marriage, think about the key to life with God. It's the same thing. There's nothing stopping you from becoming the greatest person in Christ you ever know is you. There's no limit to the time you can spend with him. Well, yes, it is. I have to go to work. You can still be right there with him at work. Take him to work with you. He'll go. Well, we travel all the time. He'll ride with you. But don't let him co-pilot. Let him pilot. Let him pilot. Say amen. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and say there should be some fruit. But we're puffed up over our opinion, but love builds the structure of our new life. If anyone thinks of himself as a know-it-all, he has a lot to learn. But if that person passionately loves God, he will possess the knowledge of God. Amen? Amen? Now, you can take a person, it can be a man or a woman, and they can know everything about a car, a truck, whatever they drive. They can know how the engine works. They can know how the brakes work. They can know how to change the oil. They can know all the intricacies of bearings and wheels and gears and ratios and all that stuff, and that is great. They got a lot of knowledge, but some of them, you put them behind the wheel, and they have no knowledge of how to drive that thing. Come on. You know what? Does that make sense? You can know a lot about something, but you don't possess the knowledge to make it functional in your life. That's why you can't just, I mean, it's good to memorize scriptures, but it's even better when you memorize them and they come alive to you and through you. You can quote scriptures all day long and go to hell, but you start living a few of them out and make them real and it'll get you to heaven through Jesus Christ. You have to be born again, even for the scriptures to work. Can I have a better amen? See, godly knowledge, though, is not some trophy we want to throw out there to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. You ever been around the scholars of God that know noteth how to have a regular conversation with anyone around them? Everything has to be either the triunity of God to the Godhead, of the dichotomy of the life of Christ through the ancient times, of the opening of the Pharisees. Well, that just did nobody any good. And Paul says, I'd rather speak to you plainly than throw 1,000 words at you don't understand. Amen? So, godly knowledge is not some trophy you need to tote around. Amen? It is fuel for you to live a faithful life. That's what knowledge is really about. It fuels you and your faith where you can live throughout this world while you're here and walk through it no matter what happens to you. Amen? Now, let me put up the next note. The fruit of godly knowledge is always transformation. If you've got knowledge but it doesn't lead to transformation, you've just got knowledge, not doing you any good. That's why the Bible says you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way you think, where knowledge is put in. It's not just about the text. It's about the text living and breathing and being produced to me and through me. Touch your neighbor and say, get you some of this. Now, here's the thing. Knowledge without transformation makes you very dangerous. And you're living in the danger zone. You've got knowledge. The Bible says they're always learning but never able to come to the truth of the matter. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the sharpest religious people on planet Earth. They could quote the first five books of the Pentateuch, or however you say that thing. Somebody say it. I said it wrong. Pentateuch. Golly bum. They could quote. They had to memorize it. The first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And that's five big books. And they knew it inside out about Messiah showing up on earth. Yet when Messiah showed up on earth, they couldn't even see it. All this knowledge, but truth was in front of them, and they couldn't even see the truth. How many Christians are walking in that same manner? All this knowledge about God, about religion, and that's probably, to be honest with you, one of your biggest problems. You're trying too much with religious stuff. You need to get you some kingdom Jesus. I got to move quickly. But knowledge without transformation makes you dangerous because it justifies your own pride in your behavior. And that type of knowledge, let me tell you something. Knowledge without transformation puts you in a spirit of manipulation. Because you'll try to use your knowledge with anything in your life to manipulate other people. In the church, in marriage, in life, on the job, whatever you're attached to, you will self-justify and use your sharpness, and you think you're sharp, you know. But you're really Jezebel's spirit because you're a manipulator with your knowledge. You've not come to the light. You've not come to the truth of it where you will walk in humility, submission, and obedience. Good preaching, amen. I'll help you right there. Amen? So real quickly, come on. How do we pursue godly knowledge? And I call this in a noisy world. And it's getting louder all the time. It's a noise, all the noise going on, all the negativity, all the me. Man, it's hard to focus on standing with God and all this stuff, amen? But it's the best time to focus and get in God right now. So let me give you just three simple things. Everybody say simple things. Go ahead and put the first one up. The first one is you need to spend time in the Word of God. Now watch this. God, I want to know you more. I want to know how you operate, how you feel, what your authority is, what you say about me. I want to know you, Lord. I want a good relationship with you. Here's a book that says everything. Here's a book that explains every bit of it. Can I get it is there a TikTok? Preferably one under 30 seconds, though, because that's all I got time for. Preferably around 30 seconds. No more than a minute, Lord. Come on, I'm a busy man. Again, you can't have a relationship with what you don't have to put some time in it. Psalms 119, 105 of that says this right here. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is what lights up if you want to walk in the ways of God. When you shut this, you dim the light where you can't see where you're walking as much. And you will stumble and you will fall and you'll stub your toe. And I did this morning. My little pinky screamed out. That pinky toe right there, I've got a new vanity in my little bathroom in there, and it sets out just a little bit further than the old one did, and I found it out this morning. It's a little further out. No, I did not cuss. I wanted to, but I didn't. Why? Because I have knowledge that language don't need to come out of my mouth. The desire was there. But I overcame that with the knowledge of the Word. Did it hurt? Yes. Spend time in the Word. Second thing, I think I said this last week, listen when the Holy Spirit's talking to you. And the biggest question I get about that with people is, well, how do I know when it's God? The first one says spend time in your Word. When you spend time in your Word, you will know the voice of God because it will always sound like the Word. If it ever goes against the knowledge of the Word of God, you know it's not God, and it's the enemy trying to deceive you. When you get that Word and it lines up, then you know it's the Holy Spirit. But now let me give you another word of wisdom and knowledge. You can get a word from the Holy Spirit. You can look it up. It lines up exactly with the Word of God. It doesn't defile the Word of God. But now, Lord, what's the timing for this Word? Am I in a Kairos moment when it needs to be released, or is this for something for me next week I'm going to be facing? And that's where you've got to walk in discernment with the Holy Ghost. Not just get the word to word, but you've got to walk in personal discernment with a relationship with God where He can now say, son, that's future. Or son, this is right here. If you remember back, this is the word you should have followed back here, and I want you to learn it because you may face it again. It doesn't mean it's something you got to do right then. However, many times it is something that God's going to activate you in right there for that moment. But again, when you know the Holy Spirit, you won't blow it near as much. Amen? So listen to the Spirit of God, John 14:26. But the Helper, talking about some, calls it the Comforter. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Helper, and again, it gives it the title. The Helper, everybody say the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom Father, God the Father, will send in my name, Jesus, He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. Everybody say all things. And He'll bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you. I need a better marriage. Get in your word. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you how to have it. He's not going to hold you back from being blessed in your marriage. I need a better financial plan. Get with the Father. Get with the Word. Get with the Holy Spirit. They'll lead you and guide you to either people with wisdom, or He'll give you a strategy. There's finances is all through the Bible. Amen? I need a better job. Seek the Word. Seek the Holy Spirit. Listen and follow their instruction. All of life is found in the Word of God, in the knowledge of God. And then I think, again, the third thing is, go ahead and put it up. Learn from the life of Jesus. And I'm not trying to call anybody out on purpose. We have the Baptist doctrine. We have the Methodist doctrine, the Church of Christ doctrine, theology. We have Assembly of God theology. We have Church of God theology. We have Pentecostal Church of God theology. We have independent theology. We have... God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, listen to me, is perfect theology. Perfect. Jesus is the New Testament perfect theology. You'll never find Jesus outside of doctrinal theology of the heaven above on earth. So if you need an example, it ain't about what would Jesus do. That was a horrible time for us. Because what would Jesus left it up to worldly knowledge of what I think Jesus would have done. Godly theology, godly saying would have been, what did Jesus do? You find what how Jesus handled it, what Jesus did, and you do what Jesus did. Matter of fact, the Bible says, be ye imitators of God. Be holy as He is holy. So don't think, don't process it through what would Jesus do, because what I think you need to do. I think before He got on that cross, I think He needed to kill everybody. Wipe them all out standing around, see if they put Him on the cross then. That's what I would have done. That's what I think Jesus should have done, but it didn't matter. What did Jesus do? He went to the cross. So let's learn from Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. Did you see what the mysterious plan is? The mysterious plan is Jesus, Christ Himself. Now watch this, last verse. In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you don't know something, ask Him. But don't just sit around getting His word while you ask Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the word. And then look and see what Jesus done. And you will get the most sound advice you could ever get without having to go to an office, lay on a couch, and pay somebody $120 to waste 30 minutes of your life asking you, how does that make you feel? Well, how does that make you feel? Well, I feel like this. Well, what do you think the root of that is? Well, why do you think you feel that way? Spend time in the Word. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit and learn from the life of Jesus. And you can pay me $120 right now. And you are welcome. Solve all your problems with the Word of God. And you ain't got to... Instead of taking that pill, why don't you get you a gospel? Stand to your feet. Now, if that offended you, it's because you're in worldly knowledge. Hear me out. If that offended you, you're walking in worldly knowledge. And my purpose is not to offend you. My purpose is to get you into the knowledge of God. He is your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your Lord, and he's your Savior. For all things you'll ever face on the earth, the peace that passes understanding comes from God and the Holy Spirit. Bow your heads, please. Today, I don't want you just to seek to know more about God. I want you to seek to know him personally, relationally, and intimately. As Savior from hell, yes. But I also want you to come into the knowledge that he is Lord of your life while you're here. You've got a Lord. And a Lord's role is our role to a Lord in our life is to submit, obey, and walk in humility toward that Lord. And he's got structures of authority over us for our benefit, not to defeat us. And it may seem that way sometimes on the job. It may seem that way sometimes in marriage. It may seem that way sometimes even in the church. Doesn't say all authority will be of God, but he says he appoints it. It didn't seem that way when 4 or 5 of our people got pulled over Wednesday night by the same police officer. Slow down coming to Journey Church. They're up here. But you pulled over and you didn't like it, but you needed to submit to that authority. And the funny part of that is they pulled over the Chief Allen. It was one of his deputies pulled him over. You would have seen the look on his face. But you know what Alan did? He pulled over. Folks, we got to get this right. It's not that hard. It is simply, do you want to walk in your knowledge or do you want to walk in the knowledge of the Lord, which is he humbled himself, he submitted himself unto the Father, and he obeyed all the way to the cross. I'm not going to sit up here and pull no lines. Everybody says Christianity's free. Well, it wasn't free at all. It cost Jesus his life, and it'll cost you some things. But the prices and the knowledge of it's well worth the cost, any cost. So if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ. No strings attached today. You're not going to join church, and you're not going to become some religion today. You're just surrendering to what you already know. There is no other name which you can be saved. There is no one else who died for you that went into the grave and come alive to forgive you of your sins. You know you cannot be good enough to get to heaven in your own account. You know that you cannot pay for your own sin, but Jesus Christ can today. You don't have to know everything about him, but you have to know he's the Son of God. And he came and he lived and he died and he rose again for you. If you have that knowledge and you really believe it intimately, you can call upon the name of the Lord today and you will be saved. And you'll start a journey of learning the rest of your life of who he is and discovering who you are in him. It is the most awesome journey we can ever take on planet Earth. And if you would like to start yours today by surrendering your life to Christ, just lift your hand and say, today I want to give my heart to Christ in Jesus. Anybody? All right, maybe online watching, let us know. How many would say today, I don't want to be in that statistics of, I know something about Christ, I mean, I said a prayer and I kind of meant it. But there's days I didn't feel like I do, and there's days I don't feel, and I just hope I go to heaven. I want you to get rid of that garbage theology. That's not theology. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And today, you either need to say, "I am gonna, when I die, I am heaven bound," and I want you to be assured of that. And if you're not, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, "I just need some little more help today. I want to renew my life to Christ today. I want to start that journey of wisdom and knowledge. I've seen a hand go up. It was a half hand, but it still went up. I still count that. I've seen that. Yes. I think if we were all honest, there'd be a lot of hands going up. And I'm your leader, so I'll lead the way. I need to rededicate my life to Christ today to go to a little further and a little deeper with Him. I get caught up in the ways of the world just like everybody else, and there's some days I let some stuff slide that I should have learned on. So, Lord, would you renew in me a right mind, a mind that goes after the knowledge of God and not the knowledge of the world. And so, Lord, we love you and we thank you that you are knowledge. And, Lord, I want to walk in the true fear of the Lord, which is to give you awe and reverence, not be in torment or terror of you. I love you, Father. And I want to declare today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you love me enough to die for me. And you love me enough to be buried for me. But Lord, you love me so much, you rose up from the grave for me, Lord, and everyone in here today, God. And we have that assurance, that's a foundational truth of knowledge we will stand on till we see you in person, God. And Lord, I ask your blessings upon everyone in here today in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. Come on, give him some glory in this house.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.